two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Welcome to episode 30 of A Cox, A Locks and A Jock with myself, Chris Bentley, the Dame of the Realm, Sarah Cox, and our very own American Eagle, Gabby Cantona. This week, on the field, PWR review and a Six Nations preview. Off the field, a special edition of Emergency Questions, and in the bin, rugby scheduling.
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X.
Well done, Chris. Great intro.
Only the fourth attempt.
Well,
smash it.
I did. I absolutely dealt
with it. Don't you join in with this.
Thank you, Gabs.
This is the fourth attempt of him
trying to get this ugly shirt. We have to build him up.
No, I know. It's true. Andy keeps tucking that ugly shirt in. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
This is one hell of a shirt. And who's it by? It's
check the tag. It's still
yeah,
on.
The tag's still in
What's
there,
the label
Chris.
Say? What's the label say? Is it Jim's jerseys?
So it's fake.
No, it doesn't. It says... It's Jim's
it says
jersey.
Not authentic.
No, it says $12.99.
Yeah.
Didn't. It was a lot more than that.
You've been ripped off, pal.
We spoke about this last week. Caldy Ravers was my first club, and they're having a 150-year anniversary. They started on Peyton Fields in 1924. And it's 100 years. And I got wind from Lynn Ridgeway, the club chairman, that they were doing a special limited edition jersey, and I ordered one a size too big. I ordered on a size too big of Caldy Ravers' shirt, and I'm wearing it with pride, but it's a bit too big.
Listen, Chris, it doesn't look too big, okay?
Yeah. It's right. In your head.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely in your head. Right, the bingo wings are because your arm's too small.
Mate, don't start that. I've got so much trauma from Alistair Murdoch calling me noodles for years.
Alistair Murdoch was the...
Alistair Murdoch played for the club. He came to the club when he was about 38. He'd played for Australia and the New South Wales Waratahs, and he looks like a powerlifter. He does now. He does natural powerlifting.
He's as wide as he was tall.
His highlights video remains the best highlights video in the history of time. He was playing in Super 10. That's how long ago it was.
Oh, wow.
For the New South Wales Waratahs. And it was like running over Alama Iremia, round Jonah Lomu, smashing Christian Cullen, like... Honestly, I've favourited one of his things. If you check my Twitter and look at my likes recently, there's Alistair Murdoch looking the absolute business.
I can tell you that I'm pretty sure I had a life-size poster of Alistair Murdoch.
Are you serious?
Yeah, genuine.
Mate, he's ridiculous. But he never drank, and his highlights video had this real 80s, everybody wants a piece of the action, as his song. And we all used to sing it. And it was amazing.
You lost me at he never drank. That's...
Oh, mate, we used to be on a bus, and Doc would come back and sit and drink, like, Coke, and we're like, yeah, fair dues, Doc. You bench press all of us.
Can you, talking of drinking, can you explain to Chris what you went out in the other day for fancy dress?
Yeah, have you ever seen Talladega Nights?
Yes, Ricky
yeah,
Bobby.
I was Ricky Bobby.
Oh, mate, shake and bake.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate,
it just looked like an unbelievable one piece.
It's a NASCAR suit, but yeah, it's electric.
Do you have a NASCAR suit?
100%. My ex boyfriend bought it for me.
Oh, wow.
Gone too soon.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
Mm. Unreal. So let's deal with this. Ian's not with us today. We've got a miles better looking member of the team. Gabby is you're sort of like becoming part of the squad, aren't you? And you there's a special treat coming for fans later this month.
I wouldn't say I'm becoming part of the squad. I would say you're following me around and asking me to do things, and sometimes I'm free, so I show up.
Burn, Christopher,
yeah, that's a burn. That's a burn. Well, I can't even... I don't even know what to say anymore. I don't want to talk about Sunday
That's
now.
It, you've got no airtime. You're not coming back. Faye, she's picking on me.
No. Let's
and my new shirt that I tucked in. That my wife had to text Coxie about and warn me. Under the bus, Faye goes.
No, it's fine. I love my wife. I love my wife intensely.
Good.
But it was.
But she doesn't love your shirt intensely, that's
no,
for sure.
No, she doesn't. She's not happy with it. But I tell you what, I'll take a photo, I'll stick it on my Twitter with a picture of me when I was a kid wearing exactly the same shirt. But obviously without
But that,
the,
I think, is where it should stay, is in a photograph.
Oh, no, I'm totally going to go back to Coldy Rugby Club and wear this.
Or on a wall.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a push.
I've actually got all my rugby shirts boxed. I've got my career in boxes, but it's at Mum and Dad's house because Faye won't let me put it on the walls of our house.
Good. You don't need a shrine to Chris Bentley.
It's not a shrine, it's just something to look back on.
Okay.
Do you keep your jerseys?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Under my bed, and then I give them away.
Do you?
Yeah, I keep two for sure, but other than that...
Shut the front. You've only got two?
Yeah.
Really?
Just give them away.
Every year I do an audit.
People seem to like them more than I do, so...
But you like, trust me, I'm 10 years gone from playing, and every year I get my shirts out and look at them and go, God, it's quite a good one.
That's so pathetic.
It's
that is a bit pathetic. I, on the other hand, keep all my shirts... but I don't go looking back at them going,
I was so pleased this weekend. My daughter was training. She wore my first ever Exeter Chiefs shirt for training.
No way. Wow.
So there you go. So then I'm like, and I've said to the kids, once you're grown up, these are yours. And that for me, there's a real benefit to
on
that.
On to Vinted it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Cash.
There's a bit of cash on Vinted, but the sentimental value for me, seeing my daughter run out in the shirt I wore 30-odd times, I'm like, that's great.
I tell you what, I could give away my ref shirt, so give them back to me. I'm like, no thanks. I have known a story
of
that.
You've got a ref shirt on the wall at PFP in Columpton.
I do. And one of my world rugby ones, yeah.
I need to put MBE at the end of you, because you've obviously put Sarah Cox, but you weren't an MBE.
I don't put MBE on.
You should start.
No.
Why not?
No.
He looks at his shirt, you sign MBE.
So firstly...
No, hang on a minute. I heard the other day that somebody called up Coxie and she answered the phone and Sarah Cox, MBE.
No, I did not. Don't start nasty rumours like that. I did not answer the phone, Sarah Cox, MBE.
That's what I heard.
No, I did not. And I'm not a dame of the realm, because you keep getting in
your
trouble.
Your answer phone goes, hello, Sarah Cox, MBE.
No,
please
it doesn't.
Leave a message after the tone.
No, it doesn't.
Or speak to my butler.
It's the Vodafone answer phone message, purposely, because of people like you. I was going to say something else then. I told not to swear.
Oh, yeah, it was quite funny. I got a bit nervous at the beginning of this pod because Brad sent a message across to Coxie and I thought, is there a message for me? Is he like
no,
saying Chris is a dingbat?
No, don't swear, Sarah.
Coxie, don't swear, because you are the potty mouth
I
of
am.
This show.
Yeah, I am. Anyway, shall we talk about rugby?
I suppose so. So Ian is away, Gabby's filling in, and a bit later on, Gabby's actually going to come across to the hot seat in a few weeks' time, I believe. Host the show.
Hosting the show.
That's what the rumours
Crikey.
Say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, while I'm on it, I do want to just quickly acknowledge that Exeter Saracens were rained off again, so my daughter decided to get a quick session up with Columpton. And we were training with Columpton on Sunday, and I heard this American, get over here! It wasn't Mortal Kombat, it was a coach like coaching the team. And I looked across and I was like, hang on a minute. And there was, Dreamweaver was in my ears, you know. I was like, oh my gosh.
Here we go.
She had aviators on and a pair of Timberlands coaching. I was like,
did you have that NASCAR suit on?
But there was sexy coaching. It was like sexy football. It was like, I'm going to coach, but I'm keeping my style.
Unbelievable.
What else are you going to do, you know?
I ain't sacrificing my style to coach this team.
No.
You are challenging the norms of old fart rugby.
Yeah, I don't know why you can't coach and look cool at the same time. Right. It's totally possible.
All for it. So we hung around and watched a bit of Sidmouth play Columpton Ladies.
Amazing. I used to play for Columpton.
Right.
Back in the day.
Boo.
Just saying.
No, it was interesting. I said earlier, Cantona's influence was very strong on the fly half. She had a strong tan and short shorts.
Great hair.
Yeah, every time she did something, she looked across. This good, Gabs? Gabs was like, yes, my girl.
She had Timberlands on as well, didn't she?
No, but a lot of the kids compliment them. Every time I coach like one of the COE or like any of the Exeter pathways, they're like, we love your boots. I'm like, I know. It's awesome.
I did it. I dressed myself.
It's just setting the standards. Right, okay, so should we actually talk about some rugby then?
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay, well, we should begin at the beginning. I saw Exeter Ladies play at Gloucester Hartbury. Close game. But very similar story to the game with Saracens. You're in the game, you're frightening them, you can see there's nerves starting to creep in, then suddenly there's like a collective switch off for sort of 10-15 minutes and the game runs away and then that's the game.
Yeah, I mean it certainly doesn't help getting cards in that game.
No.
We had one early and then a second one in the second half, which my dad is annoying and was watching, so he does
the
math.
That's the Gucci gang. Yeah. Shout out to the Gucci gang.
Shout out. He does the math, and he said that's 15 points because that's how he counts things. But, I mean, it's just, I wouldn't say, we're having a little bit of a hiccup in our attack, I would say, but our defense is really strong, which is what is seeing us through all of those close periods. So it's more of just, I think we need to recognize that we are in them and be a bit more confident in it. But, you know, it was similar to away to Saracens, which is frustrating and also annoying when you feel like it's similar.
But it feels like the great thing is there's no awards won now. It's all won like June, July. So you've got time to get this right and you're still in the mix. There's a big fixture this weekend. Well, no, let's talk about the Gloucester game. Should we talk about the Gloucester game?
Yeah, talk about the Gloucester game.
So give us your thoughts on how it went, other than obviously my chat, because I'll talk all day and we need you are our guest.
I mean, obviously they scored more points, so they won, which is a bummer. But I think they... We're trying to engage in a kick battle with them, and I think when we did engage, we actually were getting good returns, and when we got nervous or kind of scared of executing the game plan, it kind of felt like we were going backwards in that matter. So there's just a couple times when we made silly decisions, didn't engage, ran when maybe we should have run, and that gave them control of the middle half of the field, and because they have kickers that can put it down on your end of the pitch. That was kind of where the pressure came from, it felt like. But I don't know. It was an interesting game. I mean, a lot of their players, I don't think that they had their full strength team out. So I would say we had an opportunity there and we just kind of missed taking it.
Hope Rodgers player of the match.
She played well.
She does. She plays well every week.
She had like 18 carries or something like that. And the next closest was like 10.
But it's not just the carrying. She scrimmages. She does a unit.
One of the
big things is, one of the worst things you can say to a prop is they're a good ball handler, because that means they're not a good scrimmager. Hope does her unit. She does the hard work, but then she's also popping up carrying the ball like an absolute monster.
Yeah, she got a lot of reward around those scrums, didn't she?
Yeah.
We had our mate Tom Foley in the middle.
Yeah,
friend of the show, which I think is good for the game as well. It gives a slightly different perspective on things, because that first yellow card, you look at it and you're like, Tom's all over this. It doesn't need any input from anyone else. It's a last-ditch attempt of, oh dear, we need to stop something from happening here. And Tom, like, he keeps the game flowing, he keeps things moving that potentially you wouldn't get out of slightly less experienced referees.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he was a real advocate for that, and I think he kept the momentum that allowed both teams to decide what you wanted to do next, rather than it sort of being, you know, involved in sort of TMOing and things like that. So no, and I think Hope got some good reward for her hard work and efforts as well. So yeah, it's cards will kill you at the end of the day, but It's one of those things, isn't it? Rugby's probably there, and that's what you expect in a game now.
But what was it like for you? Because is the top pitch at Chiefs a synthetic, or is it?
No, we play always on grass. So
right.
The synthetic is, I will say, the Kingsdome is better than most of the pitches we play on, as far as it being a bit softer, less feeling like concrete. So it didn't have as much of an impact as potentially like going up to Saracens, where the pitch is quite hard.
Yep.
So that was fine. I will say their fans are, credit to them, very intense. They were given some ref abuse going. They are a tough crowd.
One of them turned around and started having a pop at me.
Yeah,
and
they are tough.
I was minding my own business, and they were talking about one
was
of the yellow
this
cards.
Weekend?
Yeah,
right.
They were talking about one of the yellow cards, and I copped a proper mouthful from someone. And I was
what
like,
for?
Oh.
What did they say?
Well, they disagreed with what Tom was doing, and I was like, I'm not there. I'm not refereeing this, so it's
but,
Tom's decision.
Right.
And I copped a bit of a mouthful, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think that makes a huge impact when your fans are behind you, because anytime we do something good, just dead quiet. So like, it's like, yeah, we're celebrating, but then nothing else. And anytime you do something bad, then you hear the shed come up.
The ring.
Yeah.
The Eeyore.
Oh, yeah, it's a nasty place to play. I'm sure I've discussed on a previous episode, I played at Gloucester, and they produced a tug of war rope. I told you about that with Oral.
Yes, you have told this story, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Tom copped a load. I spoke to him afterwards, and the shed turned around and said, Foley, you're bad in the men's game, but you're even worse in the women's.
Oh, wow.
Albeit, I think there was a little bit of friendly banter in that.
Right.
So they were giggling between the two of them, but they are pretty relentless.
Yeah,
they?
they're
pretty
a tough
relentless.
Crowd.
Yeah. But you like that? Do you like that?
I mean,
what's that compare like to back home? Do you get vociferous crowds back in the States?
I mean, for any other sport, certainly not for like a I said even the second year, because obviously first year stadium's closed, so you hear nothing, which is weird in itself. But second year when we had fans back in, it's like we never get that at home. Like we don't get that many people supporting a game. So hearing when you do something good and the levels start to rise and then you can't even hear anything, that was a huge adjustment for us when we decided to come over. So like you get used to it, and I would say I'm much more used to it now, but certainly the first 2 years I was like, what is like, it was weird to me.
Is it exciting for you that the final is at Sandy Park? Has that sort of intensified the focus to do well in the comp?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the focus is always to do well, and we've wanted to win the final for the past two seasons and obviously not gotten there. So it being at Sandy Park is, I think, an interesting layer, but right now I don't think we're not really thinking that into that lane. We're thinking about the ways that we
Gabby
can tweak our...
Going, yeah, 10,000 people.
I like playing at Sandy Park. I like a nice big field, so, and I like grass, so that works fine for me, because I hated Kingsdome in the summer. It was so hot last year.
Oh,
burning feet.
Oh, my God, yeah. Burning feet is the worst on a synthetic pitch.
Burning feet. Talk to me about that.
It feels like somebody has got a lighter underneath your feet.
What, because the rubber
it's
crumb
so
gets
hot.
Hot?
It's so hot. And then the faster you move, the hotter it gets because of friction. So like it doesn't even slow down when you're not on it. It's terrible.
Yeah. And then you're moving about in your boots naturally, which is then adding to the whole thing. And you're like, they have to be on fire. This is literally burning. I was on a synthetic pitch in Hong Kong and I had the same feeling. And I looked down and the crumb had actually melted to the bottom of my boots. And I'm on my feet. I hate to think what's happening when people are having
when
to tackle
Yeah,
on
when
that.
You're on the ground.
Yeah, and they had to keep water in it to cool it down. It was the same in when I went over to Langford for the Sevens. Between every game, they used to have to water the pitch to try and cool
it down. It's like hockey pitches where they do it on the hockey pitches, don't they?
They do that for the ball movement.
Yeah.
Rugby does it to cool the pitch down.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, I played on a 4G when I lived in Denver, like exclusively, and it gets to be like 90 degrees and you're at altitude, so the UV is like 14.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed to do contact because you can't hit the ground because it's too hot. And then they put out a crash mat.
Yeah.
I got hit onto it, and because it was black, that was burning as well, so I burned my skin on it.
Oh,
it was ridiculous.
Christ. No, I remember refereeing in Denver for the first time. Oh my God. It turned my lungs inside out, upside down. I didn't know where I was going. Or
it's like
what
breathing
I was doing.
Through a straw.
Yeah.
Honestly,
is this altitude?
Yes. Yeah. Right. You suck in diesel and you're thinking, am I really that unfit? And then you forget that you're at altitude and there's like the air is stranger, so everything's drier. You are honestly sucking through a straw and you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to have to take a knee in a minute. Right, and so this is not the done thing.
One of my regrets is I got picked for the England Counties tour to Argentina, and then the following year they went to Canada, and it was the same time as the Churchill Cup. So England Saxons were over in Canada, and the England Counties, and the Counties is a bit more fun, and the Counties had a party bus with like smoke machine and lasers and everything, and they were at the same training ground, and they decided they were going to play the Saxons against the Counties team. So the Saxons pull up all Premiership rugby players doing the do, and then the Counties team pulled up, and they had the smoke machine went and all the lads came out to a smoke machine, and then because they were like Championship, they went absolutely hell for leather and battered the Saxons team. In a training scrimmage.
My
mate Paul Arnold played it. It was amazing. They were just like 2 weeks solid on the booze playing like Canadian club teams, whereas the other lot were playing
I don't know how anybody could do that anymore. Mm. Like boozing and then playing or refereeing. No. Okay. I'm too old for that.
So anyway, let's dig into the Ricky Bobby thing. So was this a team social? Can you discuss this?
It was a team social, yeah. The theme was rhyme without reason. So you basically, you have a partner on the team and then your costumes have to match. So I was Ricky Bobby, my partner was Dobby.
Yeah.
And then that's basically...
Oh, your partner was Ricky Bobby and Dobby. Oh, rhyme without reason.
Because it rhymes.
Yeah, come on, Chris.
Wow. That is a strong social. Yeah. I rate that.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was quite fun.
Yeah.
Some of your fancy dress...
Mate,
I don't know, whatever you want to call
them. There's
one
on Facebook that's deep, that can never be seen. It's cancelled.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that the one where you got like neon like spandex and stuff on?
Oh, mate, we've done all sorts.
Why is it still on Facebook if you're going to get cancelled?
Oh, no. That was, I went as a basketballer. So it's there.
You should see, honestly. But the problem is with Chris is that he'll do fancy dress and then he'll wear his fancy dress normally. So there's like, you went out as a gangster at one point in a full
tracksuit. Oh, mate, I've just done a podcast dressed as how I think a drug dealer should look. No, Jen, just talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I'll find your image. It's pretty cool.
Well, we don't need... No, people on the... People listening don't need to hear silence while you find a picture that they cannot see.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, he's going to have to post this picture. Chris Bentley...
Yeah, you're going to have to tweet multiple pictures at the back
mate,
of this.
Oh, mate, it's cool. No, it's straight up. I'm on the OG Money Clothing.
What? OG Money Clothing.
Money
I don't know. This man spends too much time.
I'm wearing matching bottoms as well.
They wouldn't wear glasses.
Absolute gangster.
He's the geeky version.
They're Oakleys.
They're Oakleys, and the lens pops out when he gets a bit too lively.
Oh, hang on. Look, I'll turn
Why the music are you
off.
Playing this? Right, no one needs to see this. That. No one cares.
Honestly,
oh,
yeah.
My God.
OG. I wore that down to Cornwall.
Okay,
the butcher,
for the listeners.
What's up with the red shirt?
Well, I went red shirt. I had red trainers on. I had red Stan Smiths.
You're wearing red and blue. That's not done.
No, it was. It's
Christ,
it's money clothing.
Is it not?
It's my round. Gold and white monkeys on a blue tracksuit, red shirt, red trainers. I went down Cornwall in Lostwithiel. Honestly, the butcher came out the shop and was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, we think that's what we think, Chris.
Yeah.
What are you doing? But it seems not to stop you.
Oh, zero.
Anyway, accident. Continue. We shall go. We've digressed again.
Okay,
rugby.
PDR 15s. There's a big game this weekend. Saracens are playing Bristol. And I put it to Gabs, obviously, because Saracens are, I think, they're about 5 points ahead of you. Bristol are about 5 points behind. It's something like that in the league. Would you rather Bristol beat Saracens, which means you're close to Saracens, but Bristol are right in behind you, or would you rather Saracens beat Bristol, so Saracens get a game and a bit ahead, but Bristol are nowhere near you?
I think I would rather they took a page out of our book and did a 19-19 draw. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Okay.
No bonus point, just tie.
Do you have much concern about the other teams, or are you just focused on
Well, that's what I was going to ask that, because at the moment, the top four are cemented. So fifth and sixth can't catch. They can only catch each other by the looks of things at the moment, and if my maths are correct. How is that for you guys in the team, where you know you're cemented top four? So is it now just about where you're going to play, who you're going to play, and how you're going to play it?
I honestly don't think about it.
Really?
But I'm sure some people do.
Yeah.
I feel like my objective every time we go is as many points as possible. So ideally, always a five. Not possible, then you need a bonus point.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So I kind of look at it from case to case. I think somebody else somewhere should be getting paid more to think about that,
in my
opinion. So not my job.
Not your problem.
We've got Saracens on 50 points, Exeter on 42, or Bristol on 41, and Loughborough 27. So Loughborough aren't going to catch you. But Bristol are obviously playing Saracens this weekend. I think you're playing... Who have you got this weekend?
We got Loughborough.
Loughborough. So you and is it home?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we should... Barring a act of God, although Loughborough have got Scars back now, haven't they? Mm.
Yes,
so their backline's quite good.
They're looking quite good.
They're a decent team, but I think we should have enough to go past them. And then if Bristol lose, suddenly you've got space between you and Bristol, and you're then Saracens is sort of it's going to be Saracens, isn't it?
Probably
home or away with Saris.
It'll probably be away, but yeah.
Okay.
We have a cup semi-finals away as well.
Oh,
to Saris,
yes,
yeah.
up at Allianz again. Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh yeah. How do you find it up there? Do you like, because obviously they're a very long way away for when it comes to and Loughborough, to be fair, but how do you find traveling to those teams that are a little bit further away?
I mean, I like a bus ride, but I can't say that I like going up there particularly. Yeah. My second US cap was at
Allianz, yes, yeah, yeah,
and
it was
terrible. It was a bad memory. We got a red card within the first like 20 minutes.
Yes,
and
I
then
remember that.
Also at some point got a yellow, so we were at 13 for a while.
Yeah,
it was my second cap at 10. Katie Daly McLean's 100th. She had a great game. It was terrible. So
I think that might have been Holly Davidson's first international.
It might have been one or two.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so
you see, World Rugby war flashbacks. You see, World Rugby is starting to do that 20-minute red card as well. They're starting to look at it, aren't they? I've seen the dispatches everywhere.
Are they?
They are starting to look at it. Yeah,
because I've been championing this for a while.
You've got a really strong opinion. What do you think in the women's game about a 20-minute red card? Because obviously I would say the women's game at the moment is different to the men's game, and especially around foul play pieces. Do you think that would actually benefit the game?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes, like on some red cards, when it's bad, I think that they should have to go down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's a couple cards where, you know, it's borderline and maybe it's just an what word am I looking for?
Unintentional.
Yeah, an unintentional circumstance where, which I don't think anyone intentionally goes out to, you know, hurt somebody, but some are worse than others, you know what I mean? So I think in some cases the 20 minutes would make sense to me, but there's also others where it wouldn't, and it also kind of takes away the edge that you'd get from someone committing foul play, which means that, like, yes, people still wouldn't do it because that's not why people play anymore, but it would at some point make it less impactful for the team, which makes... probably maybe discipline might go.
See, this is the argument that I had, because I'm of...
You could have a hitman on that goes, I'm going to take out Gabby Cantona's right knee, take the kicking option out, and then their reserve's not as strong, and it's worth me going for 20 minutes because we can bring somebody else on.
Yes. And I would say that would play out in a final.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it'd be league time, because...
I just can't see a professional player accepting a coach saying... You're less important to our team than that person is to them. And if you're gone from the game, that doesn't matter. I just don't at that level. I could see down the levels.
Yeah, no, I was met with this tier.
I can't imagine an elite player going, do you know what? I'll sacrifice myself because I'm obviously not that important.
You see, I had this exact same argument back to me, and I was like, but I can see that happening.
We did play Harlequins once, and Rob Baxter said, every chance to sit on Nick Easter because he's more important to them than you are to us.
That was you, though.
We ended up having a fight because I literally, Bentley, leave me alone. I'm like, no, I've got to sit with you. That's what Rob said.
Nick Easter, I think, is going to make a comeback up to elite rugby if he carries on going the way he's going with Chinna.
Yeah,
they're doing very well at the moment.
They are, aren't they?
No, but I had this same argument, and I was like, I think the time that it will play out like that will be in a final. And you might get someone that will sacrifice themselves.
Notorious forever for like
But will they, though?
Be like a hand of God thing, you know?
Will they? They'd have to be caught, so somebody would have to...
They'd have to prove
that would be like
well.
A backdoor dealing. You would never, you would never tell the whole team that you're going to do that.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking elite teams are too tight. Okay, so should we have a talk about the Six Nations?
Go for
it. Am I happy with that? There's three games this weekend: Italy, Scotland, England, Ireland, France, Wales.
Ireland.
I think England. I'm tipping it. I think England aren't going to win, but I think they're going to get really close.
Do you think?
I think they're going to pick. They're going to pick bangers. So George Martin's going to come back in the team. Chesson will go to six. It'd be interesting to see what they do at halfbacks, because Mitchell and Smith are.
I saw that they've
Marcus
come back.
Smith are back.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to go with a team of bangers, and I think they'll defend like sin. They'll frustrate Ireland, but Ireland will win.
I think Ireland are just a bit too good.
I think Ireland's going to steamroll them.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
an absolute steamroller.
Well, I mean, I've pinned my colours to the mast. I'm going to go and watch Exeter City play Bolton Athletic instead. Bolton Athletic, that's how keen I am on football.
Wow.
Yeah. Italy, Scotland. Have Italy got it in them?
I really want them to.
I think they might, you know. I think it depends how they come back off these fallow weeks, I think, the teams. Because I feel like sometimes fallow weeks can catch teams out and... You come back not quite firing on all cylinders. So I wonder if Italy, especially after how they ran France to that last kick, they'll be a bit aggrieved by that and they might have a bit more belief about themselves now.
And there's nothing more dangerous than desperate men. So the guys that have been put in, like Ross Vincent, you know, he's fourth or fifth choice back rower and he's in and he played really well. Extra cheese boy. Still delivering pizzas this week, supposedly.
I love that. It's so down to earth.
It's very Exeter.
It is.
Keep it humble, kids. Keep it humble.
Yeah, we love a pizza down here.
Yeah, okay. So, and the final one, France-Wales. I've heard Dafydd Jenkins is going to play at six.
No.
Really?
Yeah, because Will Rowlands is an irresistible force, they're putting Will Rowlands in the second row with Adam Beard, and Daff is going to play his game at six. It was the Times were tipping it.
Mm.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
So I'm fancying the Welsh could cause the French a bit of a headache because the French are all over the show.
They're having a bit of a wobble at the moment, aren't they? I don't think it's helping that Dupont's currently carving it up.
He's electric.
They've won the first final
DuPont
since, what was it, like 2012?
Yeah. I think it was 18 years or something like that. Yeah.
He's got gas. He's got hands and he's got gas.
He's got everything, vision. Mate. He's got absolutely everything.
I was watching one of the clips of him putting someone away for a try and he's just looking over there and then as soon as he sees one movement, it's gone.
Honestly, and it's done amazing things
for
sevens coverage.
Not like, I mean, yeah, but everyone's played sevens. Right. Not well.
But not,
I have not. I've not played sevens.
No,
you have not played sevens.
I made it to the Sandal Colts.
What is that?
It was my club.
Exactly.
Sandal. It was a club in the northeast of England.
Why are you
talking
about
shoes? Made that up. Yeah.
No, we ended up playing Northampton in the final.
The Sandal Colts.
That's
an outfit.
Oh, have you got a shirt for that?
No, I haven't. I'll climb out.
Okay, so leave me alone. Stop picking on me.
So that's it. Six Nations. Look, we're moving at quite a pace. I'm really excited about the next section.
He has to move on now because he's getting picked on by two people. Normally, he picks on Ian.
That's not
here.
True. We share it around, and I'm very happy with that.
You share it around, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
All right, Dame of the Realm. Calm down. Back off the mic.
Listen, I've got an MBA and do what I want.
And she has a headpiece. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah,
exactly.
True.
Don't you go after my headpiece. It was a windy day and it found itself in the wrong position.
It looked like the bump again.
Headpiece? Hang on. What is this? What's the headpiece? What's the bump? Well, go on.
I was actually looking at some photos yesterday. No, he doesn't know about this.
Oh, no.
No, come on then. Coxie, tell a tale to the listeners.
Okay, so...
You're clearly not a fan if you don't know about this.
Yeah, exactly.
Piece. No, I don't.
No,
it's
many a different name. It's got Colin, Bump It, Bump, Bubble.
Okay, so what is it?
The list goes on. Right, I used to have a hairstyle that, you know, it's like...
You don't have a hairstyle, Coxie. You just grab all your hair and scrunch
it
at the top.
Well, I used to have a hairstyle until everybody started taking the mick out of me. And I didn't really realise this was happening. I actually looked at a picture the other day. It was rather sizeable.
Yeah.
I might post this so people can see how sizeable this was.
We're going to have to start a Two Locks and a Cox Twitter page so we can just put pictures up.
We are, so that people can see what's happening.
Brad, can we make that happen? Can someone do that?
So anyway... I used to take quite a lot of pride in this hairstyle. I thought it was quite smart. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it matched the sort of referee persona. What I didn't realise is that I was actually the laughing stock of the rugby world.
Mm-hmm.
And this hairstyle it used to cause people to, you know, dress up as me on Halloween.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like this whole thing. But again, nobody told me about this. So
have you
then,
got an image? Can I see this?
I'm trying to find it. It got famous because of someone named, you know, Snooki, right?
Snooki from Jersey Shore. Jersey Shore, yeah.
She wore Bumpets and that kind of made it a thing.
Oh, wow.
And then...
I was just ahead of the time. Yeah. Just telling you, okay?
Jersey Shore was a long time ago. Yes, Mike, the Situation. Correct. Remember the Sitch?
Yeah, so this Bumpet... Funny. So then when
that's all come back to me, right, Jay, wow. They're
no,
all,
so there's one, you don't know about this one. So when the death of the Bumpet, or Colin, or he was also known as, came when I refereed Wales against Italy, and I came up on the big screen.
That's a crazy Bumpet, though.
No, wait, it gets worse. So it came up on the, I came up on the big screen, because I was doing a TMO referral, and my friend came to watch me, and this is the first time she's ever watched me referee. And she's filming me on the big screen, like little proud moment. She's never been before, this, that, and the other. And all I hear in the back of this video is, what is that hairstyle?
Oh, wow.
Right? That, from that moment onwards, and the partner I was with at the time was like, right, this has got to go. Like, this has got to go. So then it went. And then I started finding out that people were taking the mick out of me, that people were dressing up as me as at Halloween, that nobody liked this damn thing, but no one would tell me. And you were all taking the mick. And I was like, well, there we are.
Well, you never asked. I think we would have told you.
I'm not sure, because I think this was the butt of a lot of your jokes.
Oh, yeah, I've got it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is a very mild version of the one that I found.
And right, it would get like, yeah, it would just get kind of like bigger. It? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's
so
what Brad it embraces
the God
as
is
well.
Now spending time.
God, I doubled down.
What did you search for on Google to find that?
Just Sarah Cox referee.
Oh, right, Sarah Cox referee. So what you've done is you scraped it back into a ponytail now.
Yes, because everyone kept taking the mick out of me. So now I have the hairstyle. There it is. No, right. I will find
okay,
one.
I got it. Yeah, that's I got it. So, Coxie, no, you look like no, you had honestly, a strange growth that you're trying to cover with your
no,
hair.
No, honestly, the picture I looked at yesterday, it is twice that. Okay.
And I really feel like when you wore that hat, it kind of looks like that too. It just gave the same...
Okay, right, guys.
Do you know what? I'm living with the hat.
Welcome to episode 30 of Two Locks and a Cox, the coiffeur edition.
Chris.
We're talking hairdos with Sarah Cox and Gabby Cantorna.
Well, yeah, now that I didn't realise that people were dressing up as me at Halloween.
We're having a bit of a... because it's been a fallow week in the rugby, there's not been a huge amount. A friend of mine, Graham Curran, gifted me Richard Herring's Emergency Questions, 1001 Conversations Savers for every... I mean, I was so excited.
Right. Yeah, no, this is why, him in his shirt, he's so buzzing for this, isn't he?
There's 1001 questions. For example, I'll just throw this one to both of you. If every time you farted, a fairy died in agony, would you stop farting?
Well, fairies don't exist.
So you wouldn't stop farting then? That's what you're saying.
Wow, you've gone in hard there. I'd have made up some sort of answer. That's like you got straight for the jugular.
Yeah.
There is no holding this girl back.
No, it's just...
See, I needed that honesty with the Bumpet, but you didn't give it to me, did you?
What?
You didn't ask. I would have told you.
The Bumpet.
Next time.
I am known for giving very frank opinions on outfits, clothing, appearance, whatever you need. I'll
correct.
Give it.
I won't repeat what you said to me the other day.
I want to go with my emergency
outfit,
questions.
Then walked off.
What would you consider the biggest waste of time from your life thus far?
The Bumpet.
The Bumpet.
So we're so proud of the jump in.
Yeah, my hairstyle. Yeah, the Bumpet.
Probably my education. I don't really use it anymore.
What were you educated in? What's your degree?
Kinesiology, movement science. Yeah, I have like a whole bachelor's degree and stuff. Don't use it.
How does that? Would you go to be a physio or something with that? How does that work?
Like you would go more of a research route, but I feel like every year I play, I get dumber. So I'm not sure if that's feasible anymore.
Okay. Would you rather live in a world without deodorant or painkillers?
Oh God!
Isn't that a good question? It's a great book.
Why aren't
this.
You answering any of these?
Yeah.
I would definitely go for a world without painkillers. I think it's the smell of people.
Are you joking?
I went for a hike on...
Are you honestly joking?
I went
joking?
For a hike on Dartmoor the other day and we walked in the pub and the bloke behind the bar absolutely stank of BO. And I was like...
Chris Bentley, you are in zero position
when
to
I
make
train,
this
I'm stinky
to comment.
Chris when I'm training, but that's training. You're allowed to smell.
He was on the rower
train
2 weeks ago. And I had to say to him, did you put deodorant on this morning? And he was like, no. I was like, I think you might need to go and sort this out. The whole gym. I was like, so you are in absolutely no position to say the deodorant stuff when you don't wear deodorant.
Have you ever been followed home by an animal?
No.
I had a fox once when I was walking home.
Really? Yeah. Were you feeding it chips?
I used to go out in town, and I used to live in St. Leonard's. So I'd walk back from town, there was a fox. I was like, oh, this is really cool. Just checking me out. Thought it was a food source.
Wow.
Yeah, urban fox.
Wow. Okay, well, I think we need to get back on the subject of rugby, right, because these are horrendous.
Oh, we can go to In the Bin.
Oh, get on. Get
rugby
in the
scheduling.
Bin, the silence speaks volumes.
Okay, well, all right, well...
Silence speaks volumes.
Rugby union at the moment, we're having a huge break from the men's premiership while the Six Nations is going on, but then the Six Nations has breaks in its own, so rugby's coming in, and the premiership is obviously they're building now because we're getting close to it. When the premiership restarts, so does the women's Six Nations, and it's just, how on earth can you come up with a policy where you're trying to grow a game and promote it, and then two real flagship fixtures are happening? And Gabs, you were saying you've got the Pac 4, quite possibly, that fingers crossed will be selected for, but you're going to miss some important games for Chiefs, assuming you are selected. Well, there's going to be some girls for the American team selected from Exeter Chiefs,
yeah,
without a doubt, and they're going to miss which games?
So anybody that is selected from the league, that plays in the league, will miss at least two games unless they have a bye for some reason, and it'll be for Chiefs, we'll miss Ealing away and Saracen's home. So,
have you ever played on Ealing's pitch before? Right, Saracen is luxury. Saracen's is luxury.
So maybe I want to miss it.
Is Ealing a grass pitch?
No, turf, right. And it's been around. It's one of the. It was what, like turf, one of like the original synthetic turfs. Right, okay. Yeah. No, I find this really interesting because surely at the moment there is an opportunity, or when the Six Nations kick off, there's an opportunity to put Pac 4 on at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's then another window on top of that.
It doesn't make sense because I the last couple of years they've been talking about how they're going to align all of our competition windows so everything aligns. But this year, the reason that it's moved is because Super Rugby for Australia and New Zealand falls over when Six Nations break is.
Yeah.
But that is a very short season, so it just seems like they should have maybe looked in the future and aligned that start date with like the end of Pac 4 into that. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really make sense to change it because if we're taking this long of a break for all of the Six Nations teams and enough people from all over the world play in the league, surely that would dictate when other breaks would be.
Which is different to the men's game.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting as well is that some of this is driven by, like you say, around the Super Rugby and things. I feel like sometimes being in the North, you almost get punished with more games. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm very grateful for those games being around. But at times, it feels like we play a lot more rugby than the rest of the world. I've obviously got a referee a lot more rugby, and Super Rugby kicks off for a very short period of time and then everybody gets a rest again, whereas we're still going through the motions of more league time. Like, what? When's the final for PWR? It's like June 22nd,
yeah.
The end of June. You start pre-season in July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, we only get five weeks from end of whenever you finish to start of pre-season, so that is like... And then usually we've had Pac 4 then, which, so this year would be the first time we'll actually have like a vacation time period.
Yeah.
Because otherwise there's no time in the schedule.
And that's
but also the schedule, the fixture for the Eagles, you've got to play a game in America, and then the next week you're in New Zealand, the next week you're in Australia.
Yeah.
So the time zones that you're traveling through.
It's not as bad.
Bonkers.
It's as bad because you're coming from north down to south, but it's not as bad going from America to Australia, New Zealand than it is from this side, surely.
Yeah,
because you're halfway there.
Do you fly first class?
No, of course not. We're in economy.
No way.
Yeah,
don't
you can't
you
do that.
Dare,
yeah.
Christopher. What?
Don't even start the whole plane thing.
Why?
Well, I mean,
Gab should be able to go. Come on, guys. It's
now
me.
You're both looking at me.
Gab should just go. It's me, Ricky Bobby. I need to turn left here. Yeah, but David, Coxie only ever travels business class.
Yeah, everyone has seen because people have walked by her in business class on her way back to economy.
Oh, wow. I told that bad story last time. And you both looked at me like. Okay. We've done this.
The thing is, I've always been like, this is because I'm used to the Northern Hemisphere and you play lots of rugby.
A lot of rugby.
Whereas in the Southern Hemisphere, you don't. And trying to find this global schedule, I'm coming round to the fact that perhaps looking at the complete cluster that we've got with the Premiership, especially, just having a huge break in the middle. And Tony Rowe's ridiculous statement.
Hang on.
Let me retract that. Tony Rowe wrote a statement that is absolute factual truth, but it was just peculiar that he wrote it.
And okay. Were you going to tell everybody what the statement is?
Did you?
I've heard about it. I haven't read it.
He basically no quotes, but it was like Tony Rowe wants to let all of the doubters know that Exeter Chiefs are still here to mean business, and he's been at the helm for 20 years, and the Chiefs are absolutely competing. Everyone thought it was a busted flush and an end of the dynasty, but they've got 10 international players and we're still competing in the Champions Cup. And it was a bit peculiar. It was like, it's all very true. And I've written a piece in the Express and Echo this week saying everything he said is true. It's Franklin Roosevelt's man in the arena and Tony is our man in the arena. But the DNA of Chiefs is humble, so quite why he had to do the crowing. It's someone's got to him, or it could well be that he sat there going, well, we've had 8 weeks without a men's game, and that, you know, it's £500,000 every men's game.
I find this really interesting as well, is that we have been screaming out for time off. Mm. We've been screaming out for being realistic with players' management of time and things like that. And people are tired. There's tired bodies. You're seeing that in the PWR at the moment. You get to this point where you have, basically, you've got to go back round into a pre-season again, and we're all moaning. I find that really interesting. Like, why is that?
Because it's a staccato season. What you better do is, and I always go on about this, right, let's play the Premiership, bang. Start to finish Premiership, PDR 15s, let's go start to finish PDR 15s. Now, if you want to have another competition, you play the other competition aside from it. But when you intersperse the competitions, it's very difficult to understand the narrative and look at the sports that work. They go, right, this is our competition, it's our main competition, we're playing this competition week
in,
week out.
It's like the NFL, isn't it? They get it done very quickly.
Yeah, you get into it, you understand it, the stories are there for you to see. Whereas, you know, the Chiefs have got there was the Premier 15s competition, so the men had played a bit of Premiership, then they played that Premiership Rugby Cup, then they went into Premiership, then they went into Europe, then there was Premiership Rugby Cup again, then Premiership, then Europe, then Six Nations, and you're just like, well, where's the
No, it is. It's a little bit all over the place, isn't it? And I can see why they're trying to align the global season with the women's stuff, because I think that is a very good, almost like a prelim to whether it'll work in the men's game as well. And I think if you can get it right in the women's game, I think you'll get a better product out of the back of it as well. I agree. I don't really understand. And also, I feel like if you're in the PWR, you go through this massive block of rugby, you get punished at the end of it in the sense that you've got to go again in the international scene, whereas some others will be sort of having a little bit more time off or rotated a little bit more because of the cup stuff. Then you come back and you're going back into knockout rugby, and then you go, and then the season doesn't finish until, because you've got WXV in some of this as well. And the season doesn't finish until June.
We're absolute rugby statos, and we're confused. So how are you going to infuse? Yeah. How are you going to, you know, Northampton have come out, Mark Darbin, and he's come out with this thing, and they're saying how...
I met Mark last week, actually.
They're saying how only 40... Leicester Tigers are the most recognisable team, and only 43% of rugby fans know where their logo is. So they're trying to update it to bring more fans in. How can you bring more fans in if the game is so peculiar?
It is. I think that's the thing, isn't it?
Scheduling-wise.
We've got to take the schedule... And I know it's not going to suit everybody, but we've got to trim it and streamline it into, it's very understandable where we are. It's very understandable for the women's game as well. But I do understand moving the women's game from the men's window around the Six Nations, because there was a conflict where they were stealing fans from each other.
Oh, entirely. Yeah, but I had this thing about the Lions. Let the women's game plough a completely different furrow and stop following the format of the men's, because the men's, a lot of the way, is flawed. It's not working.
Yeah.
So don't go, well, this is the policy we'll go. Let's go and do our own thing.
Do you think that the women's game is following a lot of what the men are doing, or do you think it's starting to carve its own path?
I think it's partly carving its own path. I think a lot of the competitions that the men are in, they do want to see, like, the women in as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know necessarily if it even makes sense to follow, because the demographic and the teams and where players are is just so different. Like, even having, people were talking about doing like a European for the women, but like that would look completely different. And then the support would be, you know what I mean? Like, it would just be all over the place versus just figuring out what is actually where the rugby actually is and then trying to make something of itself.
Yeah. Stop doing lots of things, but do less things, but really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it could come up with things like, so we were talking about the Lions. You could have the North American Bears. You could have Canada and America combined as a team, and you could go and play New Zealand.
I don't know. What would you?
That would be amazing. But that would, you know, just innovate and do... Well, I just threw...
God,
I just,
bless him.
I just threw the bear.
You've seen his shirt that he's got on today.
Yeah, are we going to wear that?
No. Hey, Coldy Rugby Club would be very pleased. No, you'd wear a juxtaposed sort of maple leaf and an eagle together.
Talking of the women's game carving its own path, what are your thoughts, Gab, on sizes of balls? and smaller balls, so specifically.
I'm so pleased you said this. I was sat there and I wanted to say this and I didn't because I didn't want to be condescending in any way.
No. The conversation has come up again.
You look at the size of my hand, and I was called digital and Teflon because nothing stuck. I had no hands, and it was difficult for me with massive mitts. Some of the times in the women's game, the ball is just too big.
I think if you were going to change.
Not for you, Gabs. You're super skillful.
I mean. Tiny hands, and yeah. I make it work, so yeah. Come on. But I think it would make sense to potentially change the size of the ball, but I also think it would be something that you'd have to change in the younger and, like, bring it up, because if you changed it and, like, just one season, your skills would go all out of whack. Like,
passing would be
easier, but, like, kicking would be crazy. I can't even imagine trying to kick a smaller ball because you'd have to. It's everything kind of changes with it, like your drop, everything.
You could be like NFL, because if there's conversions and penalties, you can use a size 5 still while you have a bit of time.
I'm sorry, we're trying to talk about bringing speed into the game of momentum.
That would
hang on, stop. We need to get a different
ball. Wrong size. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the 4.5 is going to have a flashing light in them, so you know which one's which.
I'm just throwing concepts out there.
The reason like people like rugby is because it's not different. So I can see the argument for not changing it as well. And like, I mean, it is like when you see someone running with the ball in one hand on the men's side, like, yeah, it's annoying. But also, like, you can learn to handle the ball well. It just takes more time and effort. But like most of us now, especially since there's more professionals in the game, like, you're getting better at it, and you're seeing people able to offload now because they have time with the ball.
Yeah.
So I can see both ways. I do think from the kicker in me, it would be a nightmare, and I would be so annoyed. I'd probably just stop kicking.
See, I've heard both sides to it. I've heard, yes, absolutely, I think this is a brilliant idea. It'll be great for the game, like the offloading and things like that. There is a study out there at the moment where they've measured the average size of a man's hand versus a woman's hand, and it's very clearly smaller in the women's side of things.
Watching the games, you get frustrated because there's sometimes handling error, and you're like, if that ball was smaller, she'd have caught that. But because it's slightly out of
line.
I genuinely did. There was a few frustrating moments.
No, I just think, like, you just need to catch it.
And I asked the question and I got the answer.
International rugby player says players that aren't as good as me need to be as good as me.
Just catch the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, fair. No, I find that really interesting. I think there'll be a massive amount of uproar.
This is the part of, don't just copy what the men are doing. And let's be honest, women have smaller hands. They should use a slightly smaller ball.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Gab is upset with the kicking. It's good to get the counters, and I'm really keen to hear the counters.
Yeah, because the weight of the ball. Do you remember those balls as a kid that you used to kick them as hard as you liked, and they'd go nowhere?
They go nowhere because they're lighter. So like your distance would get less, which is already like.
Yeah.
We already kick less far, and there's already people saying that we shouldn't kick from the edges of the field, which I disagree with. But like, you know,
I think that's very narrow-minded.
You were slotting them from everywhere on the weekend, weren't you?
Angles game. I don't take them from the 22 because the 22 widest point to the post is 40 meters and I can't kick 40 meters. That's just math.
Yeah.
Maths, sorry.
Again, math.
Yeah, I never understood that. And then the other one they have in America is civics.
Okay, why is math plural for you? It's just mathematics.
It's a pluralized word. You don't just do
you
one sum.
You are entering into the wrong, like, the conversation with the wrong man.
If you went into a classroom and the teacher went, right, kids, 2 + 2, and you went, brilliant, 4, thanks, you've done math. No, hang on, you do plentiful. You do lots.
Yeah, you did
pluralized.
Do math. See how I said math?
No, that would be math if it was one-off, but you don't do one, you do loads.
You don't call it rugbies.
That's because there's
one ball.
You
don't pluralize it.
Oh, no.
You stumped him then.
Damn. You say tomato, I'll say tomato.
For a minute there, he's like, I don't have a comeback. Quickly brain.
No, I'll just go to my emergency questions book.
Would you rather fart toffee or cough pop ball?
You weren't keen on my emergency questions. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but we're a rugby podcast. Nobody wants to hear your emergency
questions. No, but it was emergency questions from a Dame of the Realm, and it's asked a rugby player. It's putting people in slightly peculiar situations.
You should write your own rugby emergency questions, and then you'd actually have something
to ask.
Don't
you worry, Gabby Cantona, on the 10th of May at the Exeter Chiefs end of season do, I will be asking emergency questions.
It was only a matter of time that this was going to come out. Again, this is like his shirt. He's very happy that he's been.
Are you going to wear that to the do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm going to wear a velvet tuxedo.
Ew.
Oh. And I might swap it for my white.
This is the one where he's got his name, like, embroidered on the inside.
Tailored clothing,
Sarah. I'm just going to tailor myself.
Get it done, you know.
To fit his skinny arms.
Don't you dare bring up my MBE outfit. I don't want to hear any more out of you.
Yeah.
My white suit.
Right. Well, I think we're pretty much. Was there any local rugby this weekend? Did anyone play a local rugby? It was a sort of a week off, wasn't it?
Championship was on.
Was the champ on?
The champ was on, yeah, because I had a 61.10-10 Hartbury win.
Against?
Cambridge.
Oh, right. Oh, poor old Cambridge.
Yeah, yeah. It was good because Cambridge played rugby from the very start to the very finish.
Yeah.
And they scored one of their tries at the very end.
Right.
So it was actually really nice to see that even though they knew
they still got a massive pack of forwards.
I think everyone's got a massive pack of forwards.
But Cambridge's pack was specifically big.
Someone ran into the back of me and it really hurt.
Right.
Like I was not ready for it. And he was like a brick wall and he was only the winger. And I thought to myself, flipping heck.
Right.
I nearly took a knee. I was like, it hurt me that much.
Oh, Devonport got another win. Big win. Harrison Koenig scored 5 tries. So they're
five
tries, yeah. So they're
tackling
pretty much,
optional.
They're pretty much skittling towards the National Leagues for the first time in their history.
Wow.
Yeah.
National Leagues is tough at the moment.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough in National 1 to try and get up into the Championship, but Championship's got no relegation.
But there's Prem 2s on its way, so everybody's now vying to be in the mix.
Interesting on Prem 2. Interesting.
Can you share any detail?
No, I don't actually have a lot of detail. If I'm not the woman in the know when it comes to things like this. But I think from a personal and selfish point of view, I think the Premiership 2 will be a wonderful thing for a progression of referees. Because we use a lot of the leagues, especially around national leagues, as like stepping stones into the elite game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by having a better quality of rugby, as the vision is at the moment for Premiership 2.
My understanding is it's going to be like £1 million to each club in Prem 2.
Yeah.
So that they can actually get their players up and be playing as a
Yeah, and I agree there should be an osmosis between the two because mm-hmm. I think we've had this conversation before around men's rugby having a lot of players in the elite game that don't get game time. So if you've got an affiliation with a Premiership 2, or the quality that Pro de Deux has got in France, you can only get a better product than going into the elite game rather than having golf.
You want more players playing rugby affiliated to their own club, not... Chiefs have got 74 players registered with their first team.
Of those 74 are getting game time?
No, I know, but you look at the women's team, it's a very tight team, so you're together.
Yeah.
You're doing socials, I really like the fact that you've done thought into your socials as well. That is sticking with me. But the men's team, you can't have a relationship with 73 other people.
It's unbelievable.
It's that close.
But Rob's come out recently.
I would imagine your group, you're quite tight because it's a smaller group.
Yeah, but we still have people go out to feeder clubs. It's just our standard is like, Chiefs is still way higher. So even if they go to a feeder, they would only go on the Thursday. So they're still with us
most
of the week. You know, they'd go on a Thursday and then the game day.
Yeah.
And otherwise, they still have to be with us.
That's almost the I guess, a positive and a negative in the same breath, isn't it? There is a gulf between PWR and then Championship down. But the gulf means that you get more contact time for the PWR players in and around the PWR environment. Whereas the men's, I think, is the gulf is less, so there's less time to be had and vice versa. So I think it'll be a really good thing, that Premiership too. I think it would just be about who is going to be in it. Mm-hmm. And because like we say, you do have some gulfs with some of the teams that are probably the latter end of the table.
Okay. Well,
that would be my personal opinion on it.
Well, it's been quite a roaming pod all around the world today. We've done all sorts. I've quite enjoyed it.
We have. You can tell that there's not been much international rugby on, can you?
No. Well, Gabs, how did your Sidmouth team do on Sunday?
Yeah, they got beaten, but they did better than expected, I would say.
Nice.
Yeah, we played Cully, which is supposed to be their twos, but obviously because it's like the lowest league, so often people have work, different engagements, so they took some players from their ones.
Right.
So we didn't score any tries, but we only got scored on 5 times, which...
Oh, nice.
They were disappointed about, rightly so, but I think that they defended really well, and that's kind of a positive.
The game we saw was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was close.
And we haven't had access to training pitches, so that was their first game in quite a while because it had been rescheduled for 4 weeks, and then that was the second time in 4 weeks that they've been on a real field. So it's not bad.
This is interesting.
This has been a big issue in community rugby this year.
Saracens specifically.
Volume. Oh, mate, Saracens. Poor old Beasy. She's hardly done any rugby this.
Just constantly. I remember when I was playing there that it was constantly waterlogged, and it was a little bit different health and safety wise in our day, where we could play a little bit more with a little bit more water on the pitch. But I find this really interesting because 4G pitches are getting a little bit sort of people coming under the microscope with them and sort of knee injuries, especially around the women's game and what have you. I don't see any other option other than putting a roof over some of these.
Yeah, like, some of the fields.
Otherwise, the artificial pitches to get people playing rugby are going to have to be.
Or
there.
Just play on a muddy pitch.
No, you can't. Someone can drown. I have nearly seen one of your teammates drown on that county ground pitch.
Shut up.
100%. And I am pretty sure you had your hand over the top of his head.
Oh, did you used to frighten people?
Before
we do our final thoughts, we have got people are missing him. Ian is here with the Statman, so we'll have a quick break for Ian and the Statman, and then we'll come back for our final thoughts. Stay tuned.
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Hey Dave, great to see you this week for our catch-up. We had the women play at the weekend at Gloucester, which I believe you've got some stats on, and then we can talk a little about the Six Nations because we've got nothing on again in Premiership or any of the other cups, but there is a Navy game coming up with the Chiefs. So fire away. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Like you say, the women lost at the weekend up at Gloucester. And I'm kind of a bit aware that since I've been doing this regular slot, they've won twice in six games, which by historic standards for Exeter Chiefs women isn't very good. So I'm a bit worried we might be cursing them. So I won't talk about them too much today, just out of fear of cursing them again. They've got Loughborough Lightning this weekend down at Sandy Park. Only Gloucester Hartbury have won at Sandy Park in the last three and a bit years. So you would hope it would be a home win. Though I seem to remember saying that a fortnight ago about the Quins game. Loughborough have only beaten Exeter twice in eight games. And at Sandy Park, they've never got a result. So hopefully the women can get things back on track on Saturday and get a home win. All Loughborough's wins this season have been against teams that are below them in the league. So hopefully the class will tell out and Chiefs can record a win at the weekend.
A return to form and back onto a confidence-boosting run.
Yeah, and confidence-boosting for me that I've not jinxed them, if nothing else.
Like that.
So, Six Nations, obviously massive game for England this weekend against Ireland. As we've said before, there really is only one team in the championship this year, it seems, and then five really average ones. Now, there's some really interesting stuff. The last few England-Ireland games, some real pointers to look out for. So, Ireland have won the last four of meetings. Before that, England won four. So, you know, hopefully there's a pattern there and it'll be England winning four on the trot now. But the last four games have all had red cards in it. The last four meetings, the last three have been all England red cards. And all of those games have been settled by more than 10 points. So don't expect a close tight finish on Saturday evening. It will probably be done by the time it's time to start thinking about your dinner. England have the least clinical attack in the Six Nations Championship this year. So they've got the lowest points per 22 entry. Worryingly for this Saturday's game, from an England perspective, Ireland have the most effective attack. And what's really weird is they've had the same number of 22 entries. They've both had 30 in the first three games, average of 10. Ireland have scored 105 points. England have scored 64 from the same number of attacks, effectively. Worryingly as well for England, they've also got they've been most clinically attacked, I suppose would be the best way to put it. So they've also got the highest number of points conceded per 22 entry. Ireland have got the lowest. I think it's going to feel like they're going to be playing up quite a steep hill on Saturday from an England perspective. You never know. Maybe this is the week it all clicks for them. Hopefully we'll see a bit more of Manny Faye-Wabosso. Now, we talked last week about, was he the quickest Exeter Chiefs player to score a try for England? Yes. Yes, he is. Both in terms of the time and probably in terms of his pace across the ground as well. In the modern era, the only other Chief to have scored on their second cap was Henry Slade.
Wow, I thought you were going to say Jack Nowell.
No. Jack waited till his fifth cap. Which is one behind both Tom Johnson and Sam Simmons, who both did it on their fourth. Johnny Hill was on his sixth, And the other try scorer we've had in the sort of modern era was Luke Cowan-Dickey. Amazingly, took him 12 caps. I guess as a hooker, he wasn't playing full 80 minutes. And Henry Slade played 59 minutes on his debut. So he's already well over what Manny Fewabosso took, those 7 minutes to score his first try in international rugby. We've had 17 England internationals at Chiefs in the modern era. And yeah, just the eight of them have scored. So if Ethan Roots can get on the pitch and score on Saturday, he'll be the ninth. So that's just something to look out for. I think Manny's impact has been just remarkable, really. So that is a proper achievement, that to
and from today's list, I saw he's back in the squad because I thought he was out because of an exam he had to take for his qualification as a doctor. But he's obviously wangled it, or the powers that be at the medical school have said, we want this boy in, let's sort this out.
Yeah, whether that, how well organised that is between the club, England and the medical school. But yeah, the exam was last week, I believe. So he's been back in camp this week with them. So yeah, hopefully we can get to see him on Saturday and he scores again. I haven't yet worked out who the quickest of two tries is, but I think it will be him. I think it took Slady a while. So.
Fantastic. Well, brilliant. Thanks for that. Really look forward to the Six Nations. I think having a bye week last week and not a lot of other rugby on, I had to do some DIY and some shopping. So all good to get back to it. And we'll catch up next week with some good stats. Positive side with the women beating Luga Baruga, as they call Loughborough in Australia. And a dominant England win at Twickenham against the Irish.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think one of those results is a little bit more likely than the other.
Yes, you're probably right. Good man. All right, Dave. Thanks a lot for your time. See you soon.
Cheers. See you next week.
Two Locks and a Cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Well, that was interesting for me, and in the Statman, good to hear his dulcet tones, and he will be back next week. But Coxie, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, just on Leicester and Saracens. Leicester ran Saracens right to the wire until the last sort of 10-15 minutes, and I thought that was a bloody good show from them, to be fair. Obviously Leicester have come into the league sort of this year, and they're obviously on that sort of wave of building and what have you, but I thought it was really good from them to sort of push Saracens and make them ask questions of themselves right up until the very end. I think it maybe is the fitness side of stuff that then sort of took over and allowed Saracens back in, but it seems like I like that. I like when sort of
you want the boil overs.
Yeah. I thought that was really good for the league, and I thought it was, you know, it was also streamed by Saracens, which I thought was really good. So you obviously got the two TNT broadcasting ones, but that was streamed, and I thought that was really good quality footage as well, which I think is again adding back into what the PWR wants to try and achieve going forward. Mm-hmm. So it's nice seeing those things. It's nice seeing little upsets at times, albeit it wasn't quite what they wanted in the end. But I think like women's rugby at the moment, it's heading into the stratosphere, and I think we just got to keep it moving.
Quite cool. Anything from you, Gabby?
No, I agree.
Okay. Well, one thing I think we need to do
time you've agreed with anything that come out of my mouth.
Oh, easy, you're a referee. You could be officiating. That could be shown as bias. I saw a thing on Stan Sport half time in the Super Rugby, and it was possibly the best half time entertainment I've ever seen.
Go on.
And it needs to be brought into the UK. Four fat men, genuinely obese men, in Budgie Smugglers. They had to drink a pint of milk, run to the halfway line, eat a dry Weetabix, run to the 22, and kick a drop goal.
A pint of milk.
Yeah. I thought that was I thought as a halftime show, because you do all these otter challenges and what have you at halftime in the games, and they have the Thatcher's challenge at Bath. I just thought it was the best thing. It was a load of props in speedos, chinning a pint, eating a Weetabix. They had to empty their mouth entirely and then run and hit a drop goal.
Are you going to sign up?
I genuinely, I would do it.
That sounds terrible.
No, he's not going to shine out. He's going to put his Budgie Smugglers and that shirt on.
I would. I did my Budgie Smugglers the other week on LinkedIn, and it sold 40 tickets to an event.
I saw that you got in your ice bath as well for the first time.
I did, yeah.
About blooming time.
I actually texted Don Armand and said, Don, how often do you change the water? Because I've had mine for about 8 weeks. I haven't changed it yet.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a bit funky.
God, what's growing in there?
Don't know.
Can I also say about some of the things that are happening in rugby games? So I have been tuning into some of the URC stuff and specifically around the South African stuff. Some of the things that they do down there to get a rugby tee on or to deliver the ball before the game is phenomenal. I saw a moped go out and deliver the ball in
like
one
DHL
of the games.
Or something.
That's awesome.
No, not DHL. I don't know who it was. One of the sponsors came out with the ball in one of those like container things on the back of a moped. Then I saw another one where they got the little radio controlled cars that come out, and the car came out and it banged into Matey Boy's foot. Have you seen that one as well? Have you seen the one that went round on Instagram for a little bit, where obviously the guy that's driving it has lost a little bit of control here. It whacks into the side of this guy's foot, so he flicks it and kicks it over, and this like remote control car is on its back with a wheel spinning.
No, I haven't seen that
Have
one.
You not seen no. this? So, that tickled me. Am I the only one here? Have I
yeah,
gone off on
you're,
this?
Yeah, you're on Sarah Cox, so that's great. God.
No, I think we need to do that. I think we need to have little radio-controlled cars that come out with a tee on. Could you imagine that in a PWR?
I think that we could do a lot of things like tailgating, halftime shows. We a lot more live
yes.
animals in the stadium.
Wow. Okay, well, I think
Wales do. Wales have their goat, don't they?
Why does why doesn't Leicester have a tiger? You gotta wonder.
Why don't Sale have a shark?
Yeah, you gotta wonder.
Yeah. Halftime jeopardy.
Why
can you get across
Bristol
the shark tank?
Yeah, exactly. Now you're starting to get it. In America, one of these teams would have a live animal. 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Right.
On that note.
I think on that note, Two Locks and a Cox signing out.
Two Locks and a Cox.
From Devon's Radio X. With Exeter Chiefs.
Things are heating up in the Premiership as the Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons on Saturday the 23rd of March. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.